Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Rosho Nesterovich, Bastian Nakbar, Joey Devine, Goran Dragic, Beno Udri, Zoran Dragic, Sean Keane, Sasha Vujicic, Vlatko Konkar, Patreons, Oh Basketball, with Katie Heindel and Sean Woodley, thank you Oh Basketball, Sean Woodley, thank you Sean, Katie's not an individual Patreon, musical guest, the Rembrandts, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with an extreme playoff edition. I don't know why it's extreme, but it is.
No, it's extreme. It's extreme.
I'm here. Well, first off, I'd just like to say, Don Pardo, thank you so much for naming all those bitch-ass, pussy-ass white boys as our teammates. That voice you're hearing is Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I am also a bitch-ass, pussy-ass white boy, just for the record.
All right,
That's why we can say it, Joey. We can say it because of that.
All right, first off,
you can't say that unless you're a pussy-ass, all right?
But first off, why we looked it up today, trying to figure out exactly which one it is, and it seems split 50-50 that some people think Montrezl Harrell said bitch-ass white boy, and some said pussy-ass white boy, and you know what? When you watch it, it's very clearly bitch-ass, so I don't understand why some people are claiming he said pussy ass. It's
boy.
Like you want it. You just want to say pussy. Let's be honest. If you think that's what he said, we are getting an E this episode. All right. Sean. Well, first off, I should say apologies to listeners for not uploading last week, but I was really busy at my job, and I don't know. I'm sorry. It's my fault. Blame me, not Sean. It's on me. business right off the top at Round Rock Pod on Twitter. roundrockpod@gmail.com is the email. patreon.com/roundrockpod. 5-star reviews on iTunes. There's a TeePublic store with a bunch of great merch. Be like Alex Sequig and order 2 t-shirts, even if you don't have a job.
That was cool. That's cool. You should definitely do that.
And
the government's going to take care of us, guys. Buy a shirt.
And yeah, did I forget anything? The T Public story, the link is in the description. Use that link because we make a couple extra dollars. Normally, this is when we'd release a George Carl episode, but because we didn't do an episode last week, we're pushing it this week. George Carl was in the news. We don't have him. We'll talk about that later on the Patreon this week with our friend Big Corbs. Oh, the blog, roundballrock.net. Sean, didn't you write a bunch of stuff this week?
I did. What did I write about? We wrote about... I'm going to have a think tomorrow about who the team's lottery representatives really should be. Mm-hmm. While Big Corbs has a piece encouraging some team to hire Mark Jackson. He talks about the Carl Jackson beef. We wrote about Jim Boylan's HR file.
We did. Very funny.
At work. And then I talked about the terrible hat that mm-hmm. LeBron
Oh, that was really good. Cap. The cap to a hat fight. And also we had a great... piece on Tim Hardaway Jr. from Johnny Apig.
And then Corbs tries to analyze why the shooting is so good in the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there's real analysis going on there. Sean, we have some voicemails.
Let me tell you this. I love it when we get voicemails from the readers.
I really love getting a voicemail. Voicemails, that's the other business. Call us on the phone. It's in the description of the podcast. After you've bought 25 t-shirts, no matter how much income you have coming in. Seriously, I think we need to give Alex some money for those t-shirts. all right, let's go to the phones.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, our first call comes from our friend Micah Wimmer. Micah, who might I add, you know what? You know what's a good thing about Micah? You know where he used to live?
Mm-hmm.
The same place Tim Hardaway Jr. used to live. The same place I used to live, Alameda, California. let's hear Micah's call.
Hey, Sean and Joey, it's Michael Wimmer, and I was just, I've been starting quarantine, like, watching and rewatching a bunch of movies, and, last week I rewatched, Boogie Nights, and it got me about Jimmy Butler because of his well-known and odd relationship with Mark Wahlberg, and I was wondering, has Jimmy Butler seen Boogie Nights? If so, like, what do you think of it? And what do you think Jimmy Butler's favorite Mark Wahlberg movie is? I'll eagerly await your thoughts on this urgent matter. Thanks, guys.
All right, Sean. So Micah's question is, of course, has Jimmy Butler seen Boogie Nights and does he like it? Let's cover that part first.
Okay. First of all, Jimmy Butler really likes Boogie Nights.
I agree.
But I don't know that he necessarily gets all of the subtext because I think, like, he kind of identifies with, like, a Chest Rockwell type.
The only thing that Jimmy Butler doesn't understand in Boogie Nights is how it's set in the past.
Right.
Because he doesn't have rearview mirrors on his car, remember? So he doesn't understand.
Right, that's right. So he's like, how is this a retrospective? I don't understand what that means. And he's like, well, obviously this is set in a not very dystopian future.
He's like the 1970s never happened.
Well, I think he has some Chest Rockwell vibes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I can see him teaching someone karate. He's into going into the recording studio. He's into asking people how much they bench. Okay. And he likes having interests outside of basketball. I could see him learning magic.
Here is my question for you, Sean. Uh-huh. This is going to take a long time, and I'm sorry I did it, but I have to do it now because it won't leave my brain.
Okay.
Who is the Little Bill of the Miami Heat?
Oh, the Macy?
Yeah. Who had to die so they could thrive?
I mean, I guess, is it Justice Winslow? Well, no, it's Hassan Whiteside,
right? I mean, Burt Reynolds, Jack Horner is 100% Pat Riley. There's, Pat like, Riley, never yeah, been a more Pat Riley corollary. Well,
and look, Mickey Arison is the colonel. We just haven't found out what his crime is yet. But he owns a line of cruise ships. Yeah. Like, look, it's not going to be the same crime as the colonel, but... couldn't you hear Mickey Arison saying that he liked lollipops in his mouth and butter in his ass?
Yes.
We've got those. Yeah.
Yeah. Spoelstra to me is for sure Amber Waves. Just 100%.
Yeah, he's the mother figure.
Yeah, 100%. So
worked his way up, you know.
So is Jimmy Butler's Reed Rothschild?
That is who he, I think he sees himself as, like, capable of being a star, but ultimately, like, Jimmy Butler likes being a facilitator.
Oh, see, you think Jimmy Butler's Reed Rothschild? Because to me, it's very obvious that Jimmy Butler is the Mark Wahlberg, is the Dirk Diggler of the Miami Heat, and the Reed Rothschild is Tyler Hero. He just loves Tyler Hero so much.
I just think that Jimmy Butler's overall vibe is very Reed Rothschild, but I was not thinking of it in the context of the Miami Heat.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I think when you consider it in the context.
Bam, yeah.
Bam? I mean, I think Bam's Buck Swope, right? Don Cheadle. Or no, Bam's Roller Girl, dude.
Wait, so is maybe, yeah, who is Little Bill, is that Justice Winslow who had to be sent away? Is that Hassan Whiteside?
I mean, Little Bill might actually be Andre Iguodala, right? Because he's like, he sort of was dead in midseason and now he's back. I mean, I think we can all agree that I don't think the Miami Heat have a Scotty J.
You don't think they have a Scotty J?
Who do you think Scotty J is?
I mean, I kind of think that was Duncan Robinson for a while. Mm-hmm. If Scotty J turned out to be like really good at porn and no one realized it, that's Duncan Robinson. Like, Scotty J had just like hung out a little longer and they'd just given him a shot. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, man, he can really nail these girls from the corner. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have anyone to do that, you know, but like unlikely background, kind of was almost like cosplaying as an NBA player.
Jimmy, I bought this cowboy hat. Do you think these cowboy boots are cool?
I think Kendrick Nunn is obviously Todd Parker. Because he's a huge scumbag.
He's a total scumbag. He's really a lot of trouble.
And also might be the death of them in the playoffs eventually.
it could certainly happen.
Now, who is Floyd Gondoli?
Floyd Gondoli. This is a good question. I'm sorry. Floyd Gondoli likes butter in his ass and lollipops in his mouth. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
I want to apologize to Floyd Gondoli, but not Mickey Arison.
So Mickey Arison is Floyd Gondoli?
No, I think he's the colonel.
He's the colonel, just, for sure. Yeah.
I apologize to Floyd Gondoli by besmirching his reputation. He doesn't go for little girls. He just likes girls that do a lot of cocaine, I think.
I have I know who Floyd Gondoli
is. He's really into videotape. That's a SPO thing.
Oh, no, you know who fucking... It's obvious who Scotty J is, actually, dude. It's Kelly Olynyk.
I mean, yeah, I just think Duncan Robinson's more of a, like, out-of-nowhere person.
And you know what? I think...
Kelly Olynyk has the same hair.
I'm changing it up. All right, I'm changing it up. Okay. I think Reed Rothschild is Myers Leonard.
I just would think that Reed Rothschild was a little more essential. I mean, but, he does like working out and stuff.
Yeah, but Jimmy, he's been the fakest Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? Like that's he's more like
he shows up early.
Yeah, he shows up early. He's like an idiot who's like ripped. And I think Tyler Hero is Roller Girl.
All right, I don't know. I'm kind of having trouble keeping up at this point. Because also I feel like you're ignoring the... Basically, I think if you're doing that, I would rework this. I think Floyd Gondoli is probably more of a SPO character.
Oh, but no, I was going to say Floyd Gondoli is Jimmy Buffett. Sorry, is that's...
Oh no, I think like I just think that the aspect of his obsession with videotape, I think Amber Waves should be a player. Amber Waves isn't a coach. You know what I mean?
Sure.
She's in the game. She yeah. plays.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Is Bam Amber Waves?
Well, no, I'm a man. Yeah. No, I think it's Goran Dragic.
Oh, right. That's obvious.
Tyler
you're correct.
Hero's
yeah.
like, say you're my mom. Can you just say you're my mom, Goran?
Yeah, you're right.
Who's the Luis Guzman character?
I was having trouble figuring that out as well.
I'm like kind of forgetting what he even does in the movie.
All right.
I mean, he might be Jimmy Buffett because he sort of like just has like yeah, a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. He's Jimmy Buffett. You're right. He's Jimmy Buffett.
And then, is there a Becky Barnett character?
We need to move on.
Joanna Gleason's character is definitely, that's Tom Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. Just like a parental figure that just yells at you all the time.
So the question, though, the second part of his question is, what is Jimmy Butler's favorite Mark Wahlberg movie?
Okay, I have a couple of theories. I'm not like stuck on any of these. First of all, Jimmy Butler's not going to pick one of the big hits, I think.
I agree.
So the first one I thought of was the movie Rockstar,
okay.
where he plays Chris Izzy Cole, just because I could see that as like Jimmy Butler seeing that as his own story, like drafted number 30, going to a concert with guitars. He likes that. I also thought he might like the movie Invincible for similar reasons. Sure. And I also feel like he would like Greg Kinnear. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, I kind of think he has like a soft spot for Daddy's Home.
Okay. I think Jimmy Butler's favorite Mark Wahlberg movie is The Lovely Bones. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think it's obvious. I think his favorite Mark Wahlberg movie is Two Guns.
Yeah, I can
that
see
is
that.
The most Jimmy Butler movie on here.
Yeah, yep. I can see that. There's a chance that he likes Max Payne too.
Yes, there is also a chance. There's also a chance Fear is his favorite Mark Wahlberg movie.
Oh my god, yeah. That he's like, that's how I motivate myself. I punch myself in the chest. Also, that's what that roller coaster scene, that's what he did to Carl Anthony Towns' girlfriend.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. all right, we got another call from our friend No Friendo, who to us is Yes Friendo.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Sean and Joey, this is Matt, a.k.a. No Friendo. Fernando Tatis Jr. of the San Diego Padres hit a grand slam on 3-0 count late in the game versus the Texas Rangers, and it sparked yet another discussion about the unwritten rules of baseball, because the Rangers were already getting blown out, and it got me thinking, what are the unwritten rules of basketball? Thanks.
All right, Sean, what are the unwritten rules of basketball?
So I guess we know you're not, like, score a layup at the end of a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to take, it seems like the ethic is that you, the leading team, you can basically keep shooting until there's like 30 seconds left, and then you have to take the 24 second violation mm-hmm. at the end of the game. But that seems to just be like a below 30 seconds thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it does not seem like there's this baseball thing. It's like there's a mutual understanding of garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the rules don't really apply. And then other ones we've seen, don't shoot at your own basket to get a rebound when you're one rebound shy of a triple double. Mm-hmm. We learned that from Ricky Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, other unwritten rules of basketball.
I mean, don't call Luka Doncic a bitch-ass white boy, apparently.
Yeah,
unwritten rule. I mean,
I'm sure that calling someone a bitch is worse than I had previously thought it was in basketball.
I don't know.
That just might be...
We need to talk about it. We might as well talk about it here, right? I guess we could wait till the series. Thing? Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, it's cool he called him a bitch-ass white boy. That's my take.
I mean, not a single person is legitimately offended by that. Like, I mean, now granted, that is true for a lot of things that people are offended by, is that, you know, you kind of have to, being offended is, in many cases, partly a choice that you're making.
Mark Jackson said today that the league would have taken action if the roles had been reversed. And it's like, yeah, no shit, dude.
Yeah, right. But like, no one gets their feelings hurt by being called white boy. Like, all the history of oppression that white boys have faced.
Yeah.
It's like, it's silly. Like you... No white racial slurs are harmful. Like,
No,
you could say honky? I just feel like this argument inevitably leads to the person saying, like, and that's why I should be allowed to say the N-word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... this is just, like, a like, I don't know. It's part of the NBA's... desire to just talk about things that aren't basketball mm-hmm. as much as possible.
Yeah,
possibly people are overwhelmed by how much basketball there is. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Like, this is why the ratings are down, because right, Luka right. Doncic had one of the greatest playoff games I've ever fucking seen before, and Ernie Johnson was talking about how the NBA needed to make a should have put out a statement about how it was wrong someone called him a bitch ass white boy.
I am
two games ago.
Luka Doncic did not care at all. Like,
Ernie Johnson needs to put out a statement apologizing for writing in John Kasich. That's something that needs to happen.
That's what he should have done. I bring it up all the time. I think maybe more than anyone else in the world, but everyone should know that in 2016, Ernie Johnson did not vote for Hillary Clinton. He wrote in the name of Ohio Governor John Kasich.
Yeah, DNC star John Kasich.
Yes, yes.
How many abortion clinics did he...
Sarah Cooper, the two leading voices of the Democratic Party. Yeah.
How many Planned Parenthoods did John Kasich close in Ohio? Never mind. We'll just... hundreds.
It's in double digits. Oh, it could be in triple digits, yeah.
Anyway, unwritten rules of basketball is...
Sorry, geez. Yeah. We... Yeah. Yeah, don't call anyone a white boy. The worst thing we've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
Also, because the concept of whiteness is definitely something that's really important in Slovenia.
Yeah.
It's not religion, of course. That's never defined Europe.
I would say in some other unwritten rules of basketball, though.
Don't take a three when you have a really big lead just because you're trying to set the team 3-point record.
Don't do a really flashy dunk if you're up by like 30.
Yeah, don't throw the ball off the backboard to yourself and jam it like Jordan Bell did.
Yeah.
And then order porn to an assistant coach's hotel room.
I mean, that's a probably a written
that's
rule,
a written
right?
rule. Yeah. That is a written rule. I think you're not supposed to like talk shit from the bench if you're in street clothes. I don't know if that's true.
I know.
Actually,
Kendrick Perkins did that all the time.
Yeah, but he's the worst.
Oh, one unwritten rule of basketball is you have to hate Steph Curry.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The NBA. Wait, the N. I guess I should mention that graphic now that I sent you, Sean.
Oh, yeah, please. It's very funny. So,
the NBA put up a graphic congratulating James Harden this week for being 10th all-time in playoffs three-pointers made. And the graphic they posted went from 11 to 2.
11 to 2.
Yeah, so it went Derek Fisher at 11, James Harden, blah, 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 Klay Thompson, Ray Allen, and then stopped at 2, so Steph Curry's name was not on the graphic. And Warriors fans were, like, insanely mad. It felt on purpose.
I mean, it's so funny.
Anyway, if you have any unwritten rules of basketball, let us know at Round Rock Pod or email them to us or call us on the phone about them.
Oh, the other unwritten rule of basketball. This is obvious, but at the levels of fame that you achieve allow you to take an extra. Every time you like cross a new threshold, you're allowed to take another half step.
Mm-hmm.
So like. LeBron can take 4 steps, and it's right. It's not traveling. But Luka, I think, has maybe worked his way up to 2.5 in this series this time.
Also, one unwritten rule is don't film your teammate admitting to adultery and putting it on Snapchat.
Yeah, especially when his girlfriend is very famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we also had some written mail. Let's get to that.
Yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, so our first piece of Reader Mail comes from our friend Patrick, and he asks, who would win a playoff series between the main cast of Manhunter and Red Dragon?
That's really good. These are obviously both adaptations of the Thomas Harris novel Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
One came out in 1986.
Yeah.
86? Yeah. Wow, okay. And it is an early Michael Mann film, and then Red Dragon came out
in 2002,
and it is a Brett Ratner film.
Yeah, so you can guess which one is good and which one is not.
I will say this, I enjoy both, but I don't think either is good. But definitely Manhunter is a lot, like, it's like made by an artist,
yeah,
and not
Brett
like
Ratner.
A pile of cocaine
yeah.
in a Wolverine costume.
So we matched up who plays who, and then it's a Hannibal Lecter movie. We should also just say
that. Yeah. It's the prequel to Silence of the Lambs.
So
technically, I think the Silence of the Lambs is a sequel to this one. Yeah,
yeah, it is. So Will Graham is played in Manhunter by William Peterson from CSI, but a young William Peterson. And in Red Dragon, he's played by Ed Norton. Who's got the matchup on this one, Sean?
So I'm going to say this is your two guard.
Well.
Or your, I mean, this is your, this might be your.
I think Ed Norton's the point guard for Team Red Dragon, because there's some rough stuff going on in Red Dragon's
It's not a great spot. I think William Peterson is like a ball handling LeBron type.
Sure.
I'm going to say. But he's like, he's a two or a three. Ed Norton is probably the point guard.
Yeah.
Now, Edward Norton does play basketball very well in American History X, winning, you know, essentially this is a victory for Clay Travis, outkick the coverage, and many Luka Doncic defenders when he wins rights to a basketball court from a group of African Americans for his white supremacist neo-Nazi group in an inspiring scene. And he dunks very realistically in this film.
So I'm going to tell you right now, Edward Norton is 6 feet tall. William Peterson's 5'10".
Edward Norton's not taller than that. That's
I just really looked it up on IMDb.
No, I know. I believe it. I just.
Well, what's funny is I would have guessed William Peterson was taller than Edward Norton.
Oh, no, I thought Edward Norton's real skinny.
Yeah.
You know,
but, you know, this is the one matchup I think Red Dragon actually has the advantage of all of the ones we're going to read here.
Well, and like Ed Norton seems to actually be able to play basketball, but William Peterson probably has a lot of passion.
William Peterson seems pretty athletic, I think. But yeah, I'm going to give this one to Ed Norton, but let's keep moving.
Well, yeah, but specifically talking about Manhunter, I'm going to say that William Peterson would insist on playing shirts and skins and being skins.
Absolutely.
His shirt does not steal all the buttons in this film.
All right. Playing Hannibal Lecter, we have a young Brian Cox. Well, young in 1986.
Younger. And
not the Brian Cox you're used to seeing, though. He's got non-gray hair. And he's weirdly beefy. Like, not rotund. He's, like, buff, kind of.
Then
Anthony Hopkins.
Okay, so I'm saying both these guys are playing center. I mean, I don't know what Brian Cox's height is, but he's the beef here.
Yeah. I mean, there is a taller guy for sure.
Yeah, but I think he's the power forward. We'll get to him. But I also think they're just going to be matching Lecter on Lecter. And
for sure,
if you've seen any of the Thor films in the Marvel Universe, you know, the one thing that Anthony Hopkins doesn't like to do, it's move his feet.
All right. Do you know how tall Brian Cox is?
He's 5'9".
He's 5'6" and a half.
Oh, the internet said he was 5'9".
That's Anthony Hopkins. Brian Cox is 5'6" and a half.
I just searched for Brian Cox's height.
I'm at height on IMDb.
Yeah, all right. He's 5'6" and a half. But, I mean, like, nobody's tall.
Right, for sure.
I mean, I just think he's like a PJ Tucker type.
Sure. Yeah, I look. Neither of these guys is good.
Has him at 5'8".
Neither of these guys is good at basketball, but I feel like Brian Cox is trying, and
Anthony Hopkins is literally just going to be like calling to be taken out of the game.
Yeah. Almost. All right, now this to me is like the matchup that decides the game. This next one, Francis Dolarhyde. It's Tom Noonan versus Ralph Fiennes.
Now I am much more familiar with Ralph Fiennes than Tom Noonan, but Tom Noonan is big.
Tom Noonan is 6'5".
He played Frankenstein's monster in Monster Squad. He played a monster in Last Action Hero. He's a really scary guy.
He's on Horace and Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for those of you that don't know, Tom Noonan, he's in that scary episode of Louie where he's like, it's him giving a monologue at church the entire time. He's in Schenectady, New York. He's the voice of everyone else in
Anomalisa.
In Anomalisa. I love Tom Noonan. He's great. And yeah, he is going to fucking wipe the floor with Ralph Fiennes.
Oh my God. A man who maybe has never played basketball.
Basketball
in his life.
There are three people on the entire Red Dragon cast, I think, who've played basketball before.
Yeah, it's like, it's, it's, it is rough. Yeah, no, I mean, Noonan is going to just, like, I feel like you're just going to throw to Noonan, like, it's Peterson to Noonan all day long. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've also got...
What's her name? It's,
Reba McClain.
Reba McClain. Yeah. She's the victim. She's Tom Noonan's, she's infatuated with her. They work together at the photo development store, I believe.
Yes. And in Manhunter,
She's blind in both, yeah.
As she meets she only meets a tiger in Manhunter, yeah. Though.
It's Emily Watson, also from Schenectady, New York. From Red Dragon versus Manhunter, Joan Allen.
Joan Allen is gonna really kick the crap out of Emily Watson. She's gonna get like a couple charges early, and Emily Watson's just gonna be like blubbering with her big eyes and sort of stammering, and then the refs are gonna catch on, and they're just gonna be like, "No."
Well, and also, but you Joan know how Allen, tall Joan also, Allen is.
The other thing that's really great is that at halftime, Joan Allen's going to actually masturbate in the ice tub and the entire world will turn to color.
Color, yeah. She's also going to catch Jason Bourne, finally. Joan Allen's 5'10", too. Emily Watson, 5'6".
Joan Allen's really tall.
This is the funniest lineup. I wish we could just watch this play. These guys play
this
one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's Chicago... Ex-Chicago cop, one of the only good cops ever, I'm going to say, right?
I mean, he was probably
Bad cop. But
you look at him, but yeah. Yeah.
Dennis
Best known from the HBO series Luck, I would say, probably.
It's Dennis Farina versus Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, they're both in Get Shorty. Mm-hmm.
They're friends for sure.
Absolutely, these guys are friends. I mean, I don't know that at all, but come on, these guys are friends. He's also friends with Joe Montana and Dennis Franz. He got arrested for carrying a loaded weapon through the LA airport security.
I think this is a draw. These guys are playing each other to draw. They're also both huge gunners. These guys are shooting every fucking time.
Yeah, the advantage I would say is that Dennis Farina is at least 6 inches taller than Harvey Keitel. So yet again, Red Dragon is giving up some size. I do not know what they're doing in the front court. I'm wrong. Ralph Fiennes is the center, but Jesus Christ.
Tom Noonan can probably dunk, right?
He's 6'5", and like, I mean, at least in 1986, he could.
All right, and then.
Definitely.
Finally, Red Dragon's getting a win here.
I don't think they are. Go ahead.
We've got Stephen Lang versus Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Uh-huh.
Lang, you might know as the Colonel from Avatar.
That is exactly what you know him from, because you probably do not know him from this movie. Weirdly playing the tabloid reporter Freddie Lowndes. I don't think
he's also the blind man in that one where the kids are in that blind man's house. What's that called? Don't Breathe.
Oh. I mean, what a filmography this guy had. Highlighted by Manhunter, I would say, probably. He's going to be in Avatar 2. You're going to love it. Oh, he was in Mortal Engines, that big hit. Where cities fight each... I've even seen part of that movie, and... Anyway.
Here is why I think Philip Seymour Hoffman looks... Obviously, body-wise, he's in trouble. Yes. Physicality-wise, he's in trouble. But... I think you actually have to, like, be okay at basketball to play basketball as poorly as he does in that scene in A Long Came Polly. Yeah. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman can drain some threes. That's all I'm saying.
I think they're going to be like, he's unconscious out there, and it's because he's, like, deeply high on heroin.
All right, and then we have Kim Greist versus Mary Louise Parker.
I will say this. I am not very familiar with Kim Greist, but I do not think Mary Louise Parker can play basketball. Shit. I mean, I'm a fan, even. I love Mary Louise Parker, but... I think she's giving up a fair amount of height as well. She was a professional model, which means she has at least attended a lot of basketball games. Look, I don't know a lot about this lady, but I have no faith in Mary Louise Parker's ability to play basketball.
She's got height on Kim Greist. She's got an inch and a half. Mary Louise Parker does.
Mary Louise Parker is also tall.
5'7" and a half, according to IMDb. And then finally, look, you only had... There's two other people we have to match up here.
Oh, right. Okay.
And that's the directors, Michael Mann versus Brett Ratner. Michael Mann is going to make Brett Ratner cry by, like, the fourth possession, right?
I mean, I kind of feel like Brett Ratner has probably played a lot of basketball.
But Michael Mann is, like, playing dirty out there, you know what I mean?
No, Michael Mann has played, like, street ball.
Yeah. Brett
Ratner's like, you want to play basketball? I play at Gary Shandling's house. And Michael Mann's like, oh, I actually play in this old abandoned boxing gym. you actually have to climb into the LA River to get to the entrance.
I'm in this cops and crooks game where it's all ex-cops and ex-cons.
Like Michael Mann is punching Brett Ratner in the nuts pretty early in this game. And he doesn't even need to. Like, he can take him on the court. But he just cup checks him. And I think Ratner's just, like, thrown off his game the whole time. Also, I think Brett Ratner, while he was on the bench, would eat everybody's snacks. And, like, it would destroy the team chemistry when they're like, where's...
And he'll have to flee the game when he gets Me Too'd at halftime.
That's true. And he'll just have to go to James Dolan's house.
All right, our friend Hannes asks, I have the Peppa Pig Bing Bong song stuck in my head for the last 5 days. Which NBA player never leaves your mind? For me, it's J.R. Smith.
I mean, he's a memorable guy. I can see. You know who I think about a lot more than I would expect to?
Who?
Kevin Love.
Sure.
I find him so fascinating. He seems so... depressed. He's like both handsome and horrible looking. He's a chocolate milk spokesman. His appearance in two Uncle Drew commercials is so good.
And yet was not allowed to make the cut for the movie.
Didn't make the movie.
My answer is, of course, Rick Barry.
That Solly area of basketball, is that
so
right?
There's so many weird things about Rick Barry. First off, we make fun of him so much, our fans bought us a cameo from him.
Thank you, Rick, for that.
Yeah, he once did this.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. That's everybody said that. Show a little bit of class. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on. You're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around, and I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
Also, more importantly, he once was such a dick to his teammates that in the NBA Finals, he started a fight, and no one came to back him up, so his coach fought for him.
Uh-huh. And then the next year, Rick Barry got so mad at his teammates in the Western Conference Finals, he refused to shoot.
Mm-hmm. It is Kobe Day.
Yeah, it is Kobe Day.
Yeah.
A fitting tribute to Kobe Bryant on his birthday. Quitting in a playoff game and refusing to shoot.
Our friend El Half Nero asks, imagine that instead of buzzing, the buzzers in every team's home arena played a different tune at the end of quarters or for 5 or so seconds. What would each team's tune be? Celtics could be a jig. Toronto's could be the Canadian anthem's opening. Rockets could be All I Do Is Win.
All right, that's mean to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it would be the beginning of Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams, the assistant prime minister of Canada. Boston, I think it's not just... I'm shipping off to Boston. It's just that guy going, I lost my leg!
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Philadelphia. I think it's just booing. Is there a song where someone boos?
No, it's just booing, dude.
It's just booing. It's just the sound of booing.
Yeah.
The Warriors, I think it would just be Cool in the Gang every time. Would they steal that from the A's? They would.
No.
They'd be like, this is San Francisco now.
No, it would be something horrible. Like, Joe Lacob would be like, it'll be like Tony Bennett singing, like, Left My Heart or whatever.
Oh, God, they're going to, like, lean into San Francisco in, like, a weird way.
Yeah.
So it's like that part of... it's going to be that part of Santana's national anthem where he screws it up and plays that same verse twice. The Lakers, it's Kobe. It's a Kobe rap song as a tribute to them.
See, I think you want, like, it's got to be something Nicholson related.
Oh, it's like,
it's like him saying something from Wolf. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What if they played Bat Dance and it's like Nicholson just being like, where does he get those wonderful toys?
Yeah. The Clippers, I think it's like a special ball. It's Ballmer going, developers, developers, developers.
Yeah, no, he would, just like he did with the Windows startup sound, he would pay Brian Eno like millions and millions of dollars.
If you have any suggestions for more, let us know at RoundRockPod. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Or call us on the phone. All right, Sean, it's time to talk playoffs.
It's the NBA playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Basketball for humans.
We're going to be championship.
Data for robots.
Both teams play hard, my man.
Both teams played hard.
All right, Sean. Mavs Clippers tied up 2-2. How was that game today, baby?
Game rules.
That is honestly one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. It was so good. Also, love to see a bitch ass life.
he did it for all the bitch asses out there, like you and me.
What's up with the Clippers, though?
They're missing their heart and soul, Patrick Beverley. Proven playoff winner, Patrick Beverley. there's so much wrong. First of all, I think it is a mistake that they are.
They traded 7 draft picks for Paul George.
That's what I'm gonna say. They traded 7 first round picks plus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
mm-hmm.
who is averaging more points than Paul George in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Straight up, he has been better. He scored 7 points in the first quarter today. How many did he score for the game, Joey? Hold on, let me pull up the box score. I'll make sure.
I think it's was less. It 11 it's not points? Double digits. I don't know. That was a guess.
Well, the Clippers scored 133 points. That's a lot of points. So yeah, Paul George, he had nine points. Paul George's and in the previous game, so he shot 3 of 14, which is a slight improvement on his 3 of 16 shooting, mm-hmm. But it is not as good as his 4 of 17 shooting in game 2.
Mm-hmm.
In the past 3 days, he is 4 of 25 from 3-point range.
Is that good?
I don't think that's great. So he's been bad. And it's weird. I can't tell if it's the I'm not smart enough to know if this is the coaching or the players, but so it seemed like down the stretch, the Clippers were trying to guard Luka Doncic, mm-hmm. who had a 43-point triple-double.
Uh-huh. 17 rebounds. Led the game in rebounding.
Led the game in rebounding. But they were guarding him and giving him trouble by putting Kawhi Leonard on him, mm-hmm. or Marcus Morris on him. It seemed like occasionally Paul George would guard him. Joey, who guarded Luka Doncic on the last possession of the game?
Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm.
Reggie Jackson.
Where did they get Reggie Jackson from, Sean?
He was released by the Detroit Pistons. Couldn't find any run for Reggie Jackson in Detroit. So instead, he played big minutes on a playoff team and guarded Luka Doncic at the end of the game.
Now, what I will say about Reggie Jackson, and it pains me to say this,
uh-huh.
because I hate Reggie Jackson, just like everyone in the NBA. Reggie Jackson was actually made some really big important plays in the fourth quarter to even get this game to overtime.
He hit a couple of huge threes.
And he had an amazing save out of bounds where he uh-huh. threw the ball like 3/4 of a court to a streaking Kawhi Leonard while falling yeah. out of bounds.
It was crazy.
I was upset because I was worried I was going to have to come on this podcast and talk about how Reggie Jackson did something good.
Uh-huh. Now here's the thing. So Reggie Jackson, even before that play, made kind of a good foul. They had a foul to give.
It was a really good foul.
Fouled Luka, didn't let him get a three off. Mavs had to take the ball out of bounds with 3.7 seconds to go, and there was a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a time where, for me, I would want to take Reggie Jackson out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe decide how to make sure that in no way would Reggie Jackson guard Luka Doncic at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, Luka hit an amazing shot. It wasn't like Reggie Jackson did a terrible job, but just it seems like the whole point of having Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Marcus Morris is that at least one of those guys will be guarding that superstar at the end of the game, mm-hmm. and somehow they weren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lou Williams scored a ton of points and kind of got killed on defense. I mean, Luka was amazing. He seemed like he got tired. He was playing on a sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the good thing is they did shoot him up with Magic Blood as a tribute to Kobe Bryant's trip to Germany. So, again, happy birthday, Kobe. I have to say, I have been so into this Mavs team, and I feel a little conflicted about it because of Mark Cuban. But at the same time, I'm like, man, fuck all these owners. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah, Cuban sucks, man. But all 30 of them suck. like they're all bad.
Unfortunately, look, I've also been really enjoying the Mavericks because I love Tim Hardaway Jr. I always have. Love Luka. Love Maxi Kleber. It's a really Joey team.
We like Dorian Finney-Smith. Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think the Clippers are going to figure this out and win.
They should.
Because credit to not our friend, but a guy we both follow is actually a really good Clippers follow at Fly By Night. He's kind of figured it out.
That's Fly By Night with a K.
Yes.
K-N-Y-T.
It's when Zubac plays, they win big, and when Harrell plays, they get destroyed. So let me read you some stats here. Here's Reggie Jackson with Harrell, minus 16 in 41 minutes. Uh-huh. Reggie Jackson without Montrezl Harrell, plus 29 in 47 minutes. Lou Williams with Montrezl Harrell, minus 28 in 57 minutes. Lou Williams without Harrell, plus 46 in 67 minutes. Reggie Jackson with Zubac, plus 14, 30 minutes. Without Zubac, minus 1 in 58. Lou Williams with Zubac, plus 24 in 40 minutes. Without, minus 6 in 84 minutes. So all they're just going to have to do is play Zubac more.
Well, can I tell you, like, the most telling stat about Zubac? Points. Game 4. Zubac, 15. Paul George, 9. Points. Game 3. Zubac, 15. Paul George, 11. Look, if you can play the same guys, just don't play Paul George 45 minutes. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, Zubac is, they're just going to play Zubac more, and I think the Mavs are in trouble.
My question is, though, I think Zubac has some trouble with Porzingis. I think that is the reason he has not been playing as much, though.
I mean, he should have been playing today, then, because Porzingis didn't play at all.
Montrezl Harrell cannot deal with Boban at all. And that's the other thing that's like, you have Zubac. You're not playing him that much. Why wouldn't you match him up with Boban the whole time?
I don't know.
Boban played 15 minutes, and he scored 10 points, and he had 7 rebounds, which is 1 rebound fewer than Paul George in his 45 minutes, but 1 point more. So he was a little bit better than Paul George, too. Also, can we talk about the American J.J. Barea?
Yeah, Trey Burke, baby!
He was so good.
The American J.J. Barea. He fits in the J.J. Barea role so perfectly. Like, it's just like, Rick Carlisle famously hates all point guards unless they're under 6 feet tall and just shoot weird floaters no matter what.
It's honestly like, it's like too bad that Nick Van Exel wasn't able to play for the Rick Carlisle Mavs, because that would be great. But yeah, Trey Burke. And also moving him into the starting lineup, so tight.
Yeah, Seth Curry's been great. Like, just a lot of good, fun Mavs.
Boban, J.J. Barea himself came in, and, like, he didn't really do anything, but I think the Clippers, like, freaked out a little bit just because of their, like, J.J. Barea PTSD. they actually got a contribution from Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. That's Love crazy.
Him. Yeah.
This tons of yeah.
Should
really
we talk
fun.
About what Paul George posted on Instagram before this game?
We should. We should. By the way, he should be endorsing Pedialyte instead of Gatorade. Mm-hmm. But yes, let's talk about that. How Paul George motivated himself or apologized or whatever after being thoroughly trounced in a public relations battle with Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read what he posted?
Yeah, it's a notes app,
on Instagram,
meme, I guess, on Instagram. That's and cool. It just says, IDJAF, I don't give a fuck what anybody think about me. Fuck is you thinking about me for anyway, crying, laughing emoji.
There was crying when he posted that, but he wasn't laughing.
And also, people are thinking about you because you're a very famous basketball player that they're watching on television.
Yeah, like every 2 days, everybody watches you play like absolute fucking shit. Yeah, why would anybody be thinking about you just because you joined a high-profile team in Los Angeles?
Anyway, I do think the Clippers are, unfortunately, if I had to predict, I think they're still going to win this series, but they need to get their shit together, because I would like to see them beat the Lakers, that's for sure.
I really feel like, I mean, what can this really just be Patrick Beverley not being there?
I don't think so. Because
I kind of feel like he would just almost foul out hitting Luka too much.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, he's a good player, but he's not really that good a player. I mean, sorry, Beverly Nation, but like, you know what I mean? Like, dude scores 8 points a game.
Yeah.
He's good defensively, but he's
But he also, let's just say, maybe acts like he's better defensively than he actually is.
we're talking about a Tony Allen level of self-confidence, but like he gets scored on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in crunch time, I mean, it would probably mean that Reggie Jackson would not be guarding Luka Doncic down the stretch. But again, there are also other solutions to that on the roster.
But don't you think Luka Doncic actually probably would have just done that to Patrick Beverley today, too?
Yes, he would. He would have shot more free throws.
Luka Doncic was unstoppable today. It was really incredible. That third quarter is one of the best quarters I've ever seen someone play. And I love Luka. He's great. I like other guys on the team more, are more aesthetically my type of player, but and I hate to be, you know, I don't want to be a white guy praising a white guy for playing basketball. That's the weird thing about, but he's amazing. Luka seems like he's going to be a top five player in basketball for the next 20 years, right?
Yeah, but he's also like, again, I just don't think the regular concepts of whiteness apply to immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, I mean, obviously there are some people who are like, oh, I love seeing a white guy succeed, but like, I just don't think that, like, people didn't really root for Dirk Nowitzki because he was white.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean obviously, it's a media thing is more.
And actually, let me step back and say, it is always foolish to underestimate the racism of America, particularly when it comes to watching sports. So,
yeah,
there's some merit to it. I'm just not going to feel bad for praising Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Like, he ruled today.
Yeah. He's not as good as Giannis, so.
He makes me not see color.
Sports can heal. All right. Before we talk about more playoff games, can we talk about Big Face Coffee?
Yeah, that second on the rundown. It is more important than any other playoff series.
Actually, we forgot to do our top playoff story, though, Sean.
Oh, right.
Which is the Golden State Warriors got the second pick in the draft, baby!
Oh, it's so good. It's finally a break for Title Town West. I think for whatever reason, like, people would have been madder if the Warriors got the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
Them getting the second pick is way funnier.
It's way funnier.
It's like, because it's like enough that it's not rigged for them, but it's still, you know, especially in a like a pretty flat draft like this, they might not get their ultimate number one choice, but they very easily could.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably trading the pick anyway. So it kind of like, I kind of feel like if you're trading it, two does not have like all that much different value than mm-hmm. four or five.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's funny.
It's so funny.
Also, no one reacted during the draft lottery to anything because it was on Zoom, I'm sure. And, like, I'm sure people were, like, muted. But how happy did D'Angelo Russell look about getting the number one pick? Like,
not happy
a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, like.
Well, like, but he wasn't upset. If you're D'Angelo Russell, you're like, oh, no, if they draft LaMelo Ball, I'm out of here.
Yeah, like
it's happening again. Like, it's literally, like, look, man, I'm getting traded out of town for a Ball brother again.
Uh-huh. Right. Oh, my God. Right. And also, like, it's not like Minnesota's that invested in him. They mainly were just like, well, we like this better than Wiggins. Joey, what do you think? If if the Timberwolves pick LaMelo Ball, what do you want the Warriors to do?
I actually, in that case, I want them to keep the pick and take Edwards.
Okay, and if Edwards is picked number one by Minnesota, James Wiseman?
No, trade that pick to the Knicks for the 8 and one of those Dallas picks and like Frank Ntilikina or Mitchell Robinson or whatever, that whichever young player they want to also give up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. You're not interested in Taj Gibson?
Is that no, I'm not interested in Taj Gibson.
Oh, Reggie Bullock, is he even still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Other guys they signed.
I mean, I'd take him too. Anyway, Big Kevin Face Knox. Coffee, though. Sean, yes. Why don't you run through what Big Face Coffee is in the bubble?
So Jimmy Butler has a side hustle in the bubble. He is running a coffee shop out of his hotel room. Apparently, they don't show it in that Michelob Ultra commercial where he's packing and listening to Hall & Oates, but one of those suitcases was full of like premium coffee. And so he said, I'm going to describe the sign. It is a handwritten, hand-drawn, presumably by Jimmy Butler, saying Big Face Coffee. He offers, it says cash only, no IOUs, and you can get a latte, a pour over, a cappuccino, an Americano, an espresso, a red eye, a mocha, a macchiato, or a cafe au lait. And then there are drawings of the cups with steam coming out of them. A small is $20. A medium is $20. And a large coffee is also $20. And then there are also some smiley faces.
Yeah. Some big smiley faces.
They're pretty big. But no IOUs is in a box.
Yeah.
So that clearly was a concern.
It's also in multiple different colors on a whiteboard, too.
Yeah, he took some time on this one.
What I don't understand is the machinery he has going on in his hotel room.
Right.
So he for sure has a full espresso machine, but he also has the ability to do pour-overs?
Right. My guess.
And he's brewing regular drip coffee.
Right. But I think he must have one of those machines that you can like push the button for. There's no way he's like making a red eye. You know what? I'm not going to say there's no way he's making a red eye. I thought he had one of those like things
like
that some. Not a Keurig exactly, but some of my friends' parents have it where you put the coffee in and it's like, this is an average cappuccino. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know what? The more I think about it, Jimmy Butler would not do that. He is making these drinks.
Yeah, but the pour over part is what's crazy to me because that's a whole separate thing. Well,
don't you just need the little plastic filter?
Right, but you still are doing that.
Oh yeah, so you
outside
need
outside of a machine.
Water.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Here's my question: do you think Jimmy Butler like had the ability to bring in a friend or a family member and instead turn the room into the headquarters of Big Face Coffee? Or do you think it's the room he sleeps in?
It's the room he sleeps in. Dude.
Yeah, and he's up really early, so.
Yeah.
Every day.
He's running the Wahlberg. He does the Wahlberg
3:30 a.m.
Yeah, he
breakfast
he
at 5.
He golfs at 2 a.m. or whatever.
And Jimmy Butler said you can't get coffee nowhere here, so I might bump it up to $30 a cup. Just depends. People here can afford it. So in a way, Jimmy Butler is a bubble profiteer.
Here's the thing I don't understand.
Much like Jeff Bezos, he is making a fortune on the scarcity of the pandemic.
What do these guys have cash on them for, though, other than buying Big Face Coffee?
Tips?
I guess. I just would think...
Gambling?
Yeah.
No, it's gambling.
Oh, right. You're right. It's gambling. You're right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, which, by the way, this is... I love Jimmy Butler, man. This is, I've vacillated wildly on him, but man, I'm real into Jimmy Butler now.
I'm never gonna go back. Yeah. I was really convinced by Katie Heindel. I didn't love his exit to Minnesota, but I loved him in Philly, and like in Miami, he is like a caterpillar emerging from a chrysalis.
Yeah, big face
earlier
coffee.
Earlier than any of the other caterpillars.
Sean, if you were in the bubble, what business would you be running?
Ooh, that's a good question. God, you know, like, I know what I would make with, like, an improvised kitchen, but I don't think I could do it in the hotel room. I think it would have to be, like, could I do punch-up for, like, interviews or something like that? Could I?
Sure.
Yeah, I would be doing, like, IT, basic IT things.
You know what I'm doing? Loan sharking.
Oh, damn. Oh, for people that are addicted to...
Big face coffee or gambling. You know what I mean? I'm liquidating every asset I have and getting as much cash as I can get my hands on. Uh-huh. And I'm just going to be awake 24 hours a day and say, hey, if it's 3 a.m. and you need cash, come to my room. I'll give it to you, but it's 10%.
You also need like a tip off from the guy who delivers the meals. Mm-hmm. So people who owe you money can't like you hear someone's getting a final meal. You need to get to that room. Get your money back.
Well, no, because they all have Venmo. They're just Venmoing it to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm just an ATM.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you don't, okay. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. And you're just awake all the time like an ATM.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an ATM.
But
I'm charging 10% of the withdrawal, the fee. Right.
Yeah, you're there really fast.
Yeah, because they come to my room, or I'll bring it to them.
Yeah, you bring it to them, but it's distanced. You're like masked up, and everything.
Yeah,
that's good. That's a good deal. Yeah. You could also like probably see you wouldn't patronize Big Head Coffee. You would have some kind of energy drinks.
I would try and set up a deal with Jimmy Butler, actually. You know, if somebody comes to Big Face Coffee, they need cash, they can't get there, you know.
Right.
If they're buying a Big Face Coffee, it'll cost them $25 instead of $22.
Oh, that's great.
All right, the Celtics...
I mean, like, is that any different than what Venmo's doing?
No.
Not really, yeah.
The Celtics swept the Sixers, Sean.
The series was a bummer. But we got to say goodbye, Brett Brown.
Forever.
Right?
What do you think his meal was? His get the fuck out of town meal was tonight?
I still think they gave it to him like an hour before the rest of the team as like a signal. But I don't even know what Brett Brown, he just seems like he's so stressed. Like, what would you eat if you had like three ulcers?
My God.
Is it just like bananas?
Here's what he's eating. Are you ready? They served him bar pickled eggs.
Oh yeah. and a beer, but they drop a raw egg in it because they're like, you need your protein, Brett.
You have to eat something, man.
Whatever the longshoremen eat at the beginning of their shifts on season 2 of The Wire, right?
He's getting fired like before this comes out, right?
You would think. I mean, again, it's not really his fault in a specific sense in this series because they really are a lot worse with no Ben Simmons available.
But Ben Simmons also can't shoot. So he's bad, too.
He's bad.
He's a coward.
I just don't know why they didn't fire him like 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Like nothing. No offense to him. And I can't even really judge his coaching particularly. But you don't want the guy who was there every year that you were losing on purpose on the worst team in the NBA. Like it just. It kind of like looks like shit. And the guys like remember. I don't know. I just don't think that prepares you for being ready for playoff basketball very well. I don't even think he's like a bad coach, but just like it doesn't seem like the players like him that much. And it would have been easy for them, you know, last summer to get a better coach. And it was like the time to do it. You just need, it seems like that is a classic story of NBA teams that are trying to get over the hump, that you get rid of the coach who is associated with failure.
Right.
And it works a lot of the time.
Yeah. But also it works when you let go of the coach who was associated with a non-failure too.
Yeah. Right.
Mark Jackson.
But it does seem like Brett Brown, I don't know if he's limited strategically, but definitely there seems to be like a motivation factor that isn't there. And also, Jimmy Butler hated him, and so that enabled their weird ass summer last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who do you think should be the new coach, Joey?
I mean, honestly,
yeah,
I'd hire Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want them to because
I want him to stay on Sam. Yeah. Also, I feel like
the other Van Gundy, the depressed one.
I feel like he's happy, right? Doesn't Stan Van seem like fulfilled in this?
Yeah, that's
new
why
role?
I'm saying hire Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, hire Jeff. I like that too.
You know, it would be really funny if they hired
Jeff
Larry
Van
Brown.
Gundy in this. Oh my god. I thought it would be funny if Dallas replaced Rick Carlisle with him. So, just because he'd be like, what, again? Jeff Van Gundy in the city of Philadelphia, I kind of think he'd become like a folk hero a little bit. Like, oh, this guy who's miserable all the time, just like us.
He's kind of like basketball Dick Vermeil.
Did you know that in like the first game he broadcast of the playoffs, Jeff Van Gundy went on an extended rant about how much he hates leftovers? It's like 4 minutes into the game. I hated leftovers.
But the ratings are down because leftovers. Of China. That's why the ratings are down.
Yeah,
right?
Not because of this.
Not because
ray of sunshine. But also, I think Mark Jackson would be a hilarious coach there, too, because he'd just be like, we're not getting Joel the ball enough.
Mm-hmm. What are they going to do, though, actually? Like, are they going to blow it up?
It's weird because they kind of can't. Like, the one move they could make is trading Ben Simmons, and I feel like that's the dumbest.
One move they shouldn't make.
The one thing they shouldn't do. Everyone, like, literally everyone else is expendable on this roster. But they're going to trade Ben Simmons, they might trade Josh Richardson, like who would be like my one and two on my, you know, obviously Josh Richardson, this is a controversial hot take, not as important to the Sixers as Ben Simmons,
yeah.
But like a moderately priced, really useful player that they have no replacement for whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The other thing is like, look, we believe in Shake Milton. We are supporters of Shake Milton. But, like, maybe the Sixers could actually get a point guard that wasn't making the minimum, or, like, an undrafted free agent, or a guy that got drafted, like, 57th. Like, just, like, a normal point guard. There's lots of them. There are lots of guys who can play point guard.
Like, Trey Somehow Burke, got rid of.
Oh, they did get rid of him. That's right. And like, is it that, like, you just need someone to dribble the ball up and shoot, it shouldn't be that hard. He doesn't even have to be the main point guard, but just, they've run for years with this weird, just like, TJ McConnell's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons, our power forward, is our point guard.
Would you trade Tobias Harris from Mike Conley?
God. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if you're the Jazz.
Oh, probably not. No.
Even though Mike Conley is almost 10 years older than Tobias Harris.
Hey, they both never ran an All-Star team. But no, I don't think Tobias Harris's contract is probably considered like a long-term positive. Mm-hmm. And whereas Mike Conley, would I trade Al Horford? Oh, would you trade Mike Conley for Al Horford?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, he is a power forward, so he can play alongside Gobert, no problem. I'm curious as to, like, how did Al Horford, the big explanation when he got signed was like, well, I mean, Al Horford can shoot from outside, so it's, you know, it's, mm-hmm. And he shot 35% from three. Not really the best. He put up 11 and 12. I'm going to round up 12 and 7 this year with four assists.
Uh-huh.
And he only cost them $26 million.
All right, we got to move on.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. What are you going to miss the most about him, Joey?
Honestly, nothing. This was depressing and I didn't like watching it.
I kind of liked watching Embiid, but then at the end of the game, it was like I just knew he was like a slowly falling redwood tree in a storm every time.
I was still mad at him for screaming at Shake Milton. yeah, man, I don't know. Look, part of me is like, I think you gotta trade Embiid. I think that's the only way out of this.
I mean, I wrote like two columns about that this year.
All right,
do it. He'll get you the most.
The Raptors swept the Nets. Who should be Brooklyn's new coach?
Oh man, I feel like it has to be a celeb. It can't be like an assistant, right? You know what I would honestly try to do because it's so funny and just like offer Mike Krzyzewski like $15 million a year. Get Coach K in Brooklyn. Like these celebs, they've played for him on the Olympic team. Coach K in Brooklyn. That's what I want.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just gonna be like, why are they switching so much? I hate this. Kyrie, you broke curfew again.
I'll tell you who should coach him. Are you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's already close. Just hire Brett Brown. Just torture that area more.
Uh-huh. like, and Brett Brown even thinks he's out there like, no, we like what you've been doing. And so he's like, goes from like, well, at least I'm not coaching Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid. And then it's like, you're dealing with Kyrie and KD day one.
It's like you leveled up in a video game.
And again, I don't think he's a bad coach. He just needs to be out in Philly. Maybe he just needs a change of, God, that would be so funny. Brett Brown coaching. It would also be such a Nets hire too. Like when they got Lionel Hollins and people were like, wait, what?
You mean spokesman Lionel Hollins?
Didn't they, am I wrong or did Avery Johnson coach the Nets?
That sounds right.
Right?
I mean, Byron Scott did.
Yeah, that was, I mean, he did a good job. I mean, Jason Kidd was sort of the coach, but, there's a weird, like, haven't
yeah he did coach the Nets Chuck, yeah he did
late coach career the Nets. Chuck Daly, come on, how good was that John Calipari era? Well, Kiki Vandeweghe coached them for a year. I don't remember that. Avery Johnson, PJ Carlesimo, Jason Kidd, Lionel Hollins, and then the Atkinson era. Mm-hmm. So do you think Kidd burned that bridge? Could they bring him back?
Oh man,
oh, that'd be great.
It'd
like
be really
and
funny.
It's like the homecoming too, that like he's back, guys, and then he gives an inspirational monosyllabic speech.
Would he and Kyrie like each other? No, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I kind of think a lot of those Olympic guys like him. Like,
I mean, KD would like him. I think
KD does like him. I think DeAndre likes him. I mean, Kuroks and Musa, those guys have no idea what the fuck is going on at any moment.
Kuroks needs to be deported, so.
That's true. Musa really, really tried to get in a fight with the Raptors today. He suckered the refs into calling a flagrant one on Fred VanVleet for just, like, wrapping him up on a layup attempt.
So, Sean, my next question for you is, how many of the people on the Nets who played in the bubble do you want the Warriors to sign next year?
Like, three of them,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, name them. Name
who. Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, me too. Uh-huh.
Timothy Luwawu-Cabarro.
Yeah, uh-huh.
For sure. I mean,
Joe
I would
Harris,
like them.
Baby.
Joe Harris. I definitely want him to sign Joe Harris. Yeah. I mean, the Nets are just going to re-sign him. But yeah, like all of those guys, I'm like, I could see that. Like Tyler Johnson in particular, I was like, damn, I could see that working. And I don't think either of those guys is going to be demanding big money or anything. But yeah, like I could see
TLC
this.
Might get a weird actual big contract based on how he's played. Because he's still like 21 years old or whatever. But, all right, what are you going to miss most about the Nets?
I was kind of into their bubble team, just like these. I like the fact that it was a bunch of... I was always trying to judge who was going to win these games based on, like, motivation. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be the key. And that last game with the Blazers where the Nets were already the 7 seed and it didn't matter, but all the guys on the Nets had no job security for the next year. Mm-hmm. And it was just this, like, fun matchup of, like, playoff ambition versus, like, personal job security ambition. So, I don't know, man. I always liked watching the Nets last year. I found this year's incarnation not fun, and then the bubble Nets were again like weird and fun.
Mm-hmm. Bubble Nets were so fun, loved them. Yeah. Love Caris LeVert, love all those weird guys. Loved watching Tyler Johnson play.
Chris Chiosa. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry that he kind of undercut Kyle Lowry's for today. Get well soon, Kyle. I think he's gonna be okay. I think he might miss like 10 days.
All right, I think that's all the time we have to talk about today. We'll do the rest of the playoffs later this week.
Like,
we'll,
there's let's nothing.
Do, but no, these people like, get eliminated, yeah. Let's get out of here. Let's do
it. You're right. Yeah. You're right. That's a good point. Yeah. Okay.
Sean, anything you want to plug?
Definitely just check out roundballrock.net. That's the thing I'm plugging.
Yeah, it's a good time.
There's a good Pierre Pompomus video, too, you can find on my Instagram, at George Center.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter, at Frankie Muniz, where 13 hours ago, I tweeted, I always feel like everyone else's masks seem much more comfortable than mine.
Well, Frankie is back, is what I'm saying.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did a collaboration with Montrezl Harrell and the band Wild Cherry. And the song's called Luca, You're a Bitch Ass White Boy.
All right,
trust the process
and shut it down. Trade Ben Simmons to the Golden State Warriors, please.
Pretty please.
Hey, reverse racism. Hey, hey. Once I was a young small forward, playing in a foreign land. Never had no problems with big men. If they got tough, Boban would throw hands. Then I bumped into Montrezl Harrell. Told him not to flop on the floor. Yes, I did. And we got double technicals, uh-huh. Though the game had 40 minutes to go. Yeah, they were grabbing and pushing and switching on the picking. And after scoring on me, Montrezl H turned around and shouted, Luca, you're a bitch-ass white boy. Luca, you're a bitch-ass right. Luca, you're a bitch ass white boy. You talk more trash than Boogie. That's 9 more words than I've heard from Kawhi.
From Kawhi?
Alright, listen here. I tried to heal my ankle, but Clay Travis was losing his mind. And Ethan Strauss, he was so thankful. A new reason for ratings decline. kept on driving. Going at Reggie Jackson all day. He's no good. I said, I'm a shooter three while time is running out. Don't need Porzingis to win this game. Well, we were clapping and jumping. Seth Curry was in a hurry. And just when I hit the shot, somebody near Doc Rivers shouted, Luka, you're a bitch-ass white boy. Luka, you're a bitch-ass right. Luka, you're a bitch-ass white boy. Paul George played like duty, and that shot's gonna make Steve Ballmer cry. Make Ballmer cry? He's gonna cry. Alright, gonna play some statistically efficient basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, on guitar, Kristaps Porzingis. Now, first it wasn't easy dealing with those trash-talking words. But still, I think it's more racist when Bill Simmons says I'm like Larry Bird. Oh, but now Montrez said he's sorry. He's oh so sorry. I'm making that big leap now, you'll see. But I'll never lose this series. You know I won't. If Boban cannot score playoff P. When he was breaking and tripping and gramming with the note sap. But after a great game, all Ernie Johnson talked about was, Luka, you're a bitch-ass white boy. Luka, you're a bitch-ass right. Luka, you're a bitch-ass white boy. He rode in John Kasich and now hundreds of thousands had to die. That's my neato stat, Ernie. That blood's on your hands. Hey, you know who else wore a bow tie? Tucker Carlson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.